Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from A Time to Speak. A time to speak, and the Bible says there's a time to be silent, but there's a time to speak. And I've written about some things that I've been experiencing for many decades, actually, in my life. And I finally totally removed myself from. I wanted to tell you about it. Now, we're studying about the New Apostolic Reformation right now. And which is like a logical conclusion to the whole tongues thing. It's just one thing after another. And here's NAR and some of the ways that they relate to the New Age movement. I forgot to mention yet last time about grave sucking. Have you heard about that? Again, not making this up. It's an NAR practice, and you can think Bill Johnson, in particular, his wife, Benny, you can go to the internet and find a picture of her laying on a gravestone. And she's not alone there. What you do is you find a grave of a real general of God, a God like a Catherine Kuhlman or someone like that. And then you just lie right there on the gravestone and you soak in the spirit of the deceased, in hopes that his power or her power will manifest in you. No, I didn't make that up. That's really what some in the NAR are doing. Yeah, we mentioned portals yesterday, but I didn't talk much about it as much as I wanted to. I hadn't read properly here, but is portals, P-O-R-T-A-L-S, is that a biblical idea? The idea of an open heavens? That one you may have heard, open heavens, right? Well, it's all tied together, same idea. There are certain places, they say, on earth where spirit power is more evident, and you should go find those places. Here's Sandy Simpson of deceptioninthechurch.com. This is a 2005 entry. What are these portals that they're talking about? Where can they be found in the Bible? That's the most important question. The answer is nowhere. But the idea of portals to heaven is very much a New Age concept. The concept of portals is to be found in the heretical pseudepigrapha book called the Book of Enoch, which is obviously not the original writings of Enoch. The Catholics believe that Mary, whom they call the Immaculate Virgin Mary, Queen of Heaven and Mother of God, is endowed with the keys to open to us, Catholic literature, the portals of heaven. Oh, fine. Why not just stick to the scriptures? All the NAR leaders give lip service to that. And the rest of this I read last time, but I had left that part out, and I wanted to share that with you. I want to go on to something else right now. If you're not convinced yet that the New Age and the New Apostolic Reformation are close together, you're not convinced that NAR needs to be avoided, turned off, escaped from, you don't get it yet, well, you're a tough one. But let me give it one more shot. Let's talk about the Passion Translation. Every movement that's away from Scripture needs its own Bible. Well, the Jehovah Witnesses have theirs, right? The Mormons have theirs. Every new movement has to have its own identifying literature. Islam needed to let people know that the Bible was out of date. And so it was handily updated by the angel Gabriel, they say, and Muhammad. We call this update the Quran. The Mormons needed an angelic intervention to confirm their new findings. Enter Joseph Smith, an angel, of course, and the Book of Mormon. The Bible and the book would now go hand in hand. And then came the Jehovah Witnesses. You know, the old King James that they were using proved a problem for them as it kept saying things that they weren't saying. So, a group of men with no angel this time produced a book that looks a whole lot like the Bible. You'll even find this in some hotels now instead of your Gideon Bible. But this Bible, the New World Translation, says what the witness founders were saying. attacks the divinity of Christ at every opportunity. The New World Translation, yeah. We need a Bible to match our church. Well, NAR has been having trouble with these old Bibles too. Even some of the newer ones. No problem. We'll kick it up a notch. We'll proclaim, and this is truth now, this is what they did. They proclaim that Jesus himself has commissioned a new set of scriptures. True. This is Pentecostal. This is charismatic. They'll follow the original 66 books, but with a seriously charismatic twist. The translation's being rolled out bit by bit as I speak to you. Allow me to share with you some comments about this new wonder. I'm on the BereanCall.org site. It's called One More Translation, One More Step Away from the Truth. This is August 1st, 2013, Ed Newby. He says, former missionary and now New Apostolic Reformation pastor Brian Simmons is producing the Passion Translation. We'll call it the PT from this point. It wrests the scriptures as blatantly as Eugene Peterson's Message, which was pretty bad. The portions translated so far furnish ample evidence of his need to alter scripture in order to support NAR doctrinal teaching. Not surprisingly, his translation has been endorsed by NAR leaders like Che An, senior pastor of Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, California. He says, Brian Simmons is a brilliant man that has been given fresh revelation and insight into the deeper meaning of the scriptures. Or Catherine Ruanala, senior minister of the Glory City Church, Brisbane, Australia. She says, I pray that as you read these sacred works, the fire of God will awaken you to a fresh hunger. It was through a life-changing encounter with God that Brian was commissioned to do this translation. And I believe that an impartation for Holy Spirit encounters is released through his ministry. End of quote. So Simmons was commissioned to do this translation? Yeah. Professing the anointing of the Lord, Simmons forsook the manuscripts that previous translators have used and opted for Aramaic versions no earlier than the 5th century. As a consequence, the wording of many verses runs quite contrary to those that are derived from the standard Greek. Simmons writes, quote, for centuries it has been believed that the New Testament was first written in Greek. But some scholars now lean increasingly towards the thought that Aramaic and Hebrew texts of the New Testament are the original manuscripts, and that many of the Greek texts are copies and a second generation from the originals. This is radically changing translation concepts and will result in many new translations of the New Testament based on Aramaic. Aramaic. It's a combination of Hebrew and Syrian languages. So, excerpts taken from the translator's introduction to Letters from Heaven by the Apostle Paul. Simmons' fourth release of the Passion Translation. Mind you, he doesn't tell us who those scholars are. He just says, scholars, there have been a lot of scholars. Well, who are they? How many, in fact, really are into this new thing? Is it a majority or just a couple? Further, Simmons seems to echo the opinion of some Hebrew roots teachers, an opinion without proof. Fragments of New Testament manuscripts from the 2nd century, written in Greek, exist. And more recently, a 1st century Greek fragment of Mark's Gospel has been found. 1st century. Simmons relies upon the Aramaic translation. But the readers of Paul's letters were not Aramaic speakers. Rome, Greece, and Western Asia Minor were Greek-speaking. Paul would naturally have written to them in Greek. The oldest Aramaic Bible manuscripts are written in a different dialect than the Aramaic that was spoken by Jesus and his disciples in Galilee. Also, the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, have long been said to have large overlaps in Greek, for example, similarities between Matthew and Mark. This simply means that some writers of the Gospels were familiar with other Gospels already written in Greek. Concerning the PT, it is instructive that another commentator notes, quote, "I must mention that even those verses he claims to translate from the Greek are still drastically different." Well, they're different because the human bias of Simmons drives this work. Human bias. For example, consider his translation of Galatians 6:6. Let's go back to the old KJV. The KJV says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." To communicate means to share, as translated in other English translations, to share your material things with those whose full-time job is to teach the Word of God. But the Passion Translation has it like this: "And those who are taught the Word will receive an impartation from their teacher. A transference of anointing takes place between them." Oh, I see. The meaning that's given by Simmons is supportive of NAR teaching regarding the anointing, but has nothing to do with what the verse says. The NAR bias is imposing itself upon Simmons' translation. Even Paul's greeting to the Philippians is corrupted by Simmons. The KJV reads like this: "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." But in the PT, Paul's greeting sounds like this: "We decree over your lives the blessings of divine grace and supernatural peace that flow from God our wonderful Father and our anointed Messiah, the Lord Jesus." Inspired by positive confession, NAR folks are not afraid to make decrees, believing that they are speaking for or in the place of God. Simmons is adding to and departing from the Scriptures, and most of all, distorting God's Word for the sake of his movement. That's what the Mormons and the other groups do with their translations. In the King James Version, the exhortation of 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 to 4, it sounds like this: "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Amen. We're in that, aren't we? "But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Doctrine is specifically mentioned twice in this passage, right? But not in the PT. Let's read the point of the passage and the protection for the sheep. It's all removed. The protection for the sheep, all removed by the PT. Let me read that one. "Proclaim the word of God and never give up. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is convenient and when it is not, with all the outpouring of the Spirit, with wisdom and patience, as you instruct and teach the people. For the time is coming when they will no longer listen and respond to the healing words, but because they are selfish and proud, they will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they wanted to hear. They will close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths. Well, you know, they got enough good stuff in there on that translation to include themselves in the rebuke, but I don't think they will see it that way. Finally, the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom, right? Well, the PT does much to subtract from that wisdom. Here's just one verse, Proverbs 1:7. How then does a man gain the essence of wisdom? It starts with God, for the first rays of revelation light come from him. So trust him and live in awe and adoration of him. Careless ones will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. Well, in truth, Proverbs 1:7 simply says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Like A.W. Tozer points out, no one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. In Psalm 119:10, or 105, that is, 119:105, the inspired writer of Scripture tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and the light unto my path. But the Passion Translation does a whole lot to obscure and turn off that light. Indeed. All right. Let's go from that blog to another one from Pulpit and Pen by Jeff Maples, as he describes the new apostate reformation. He calls it the new apostate reformation version, September 2017. He says, there's a new Bible translation interpretation. Let's just cut to the chase. It's not even a Bible. It's a collection of fiction stories that have a somewhat similar theme to the scriptures, but adds a whole lot of personal imagination to it. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, it says in Revelation 22, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. That's an actual translation in Revelation 22:18 in the ESV. This new storybook is called the Passion Translation. It's popular among the new apostolic apostate reformation crowd and quoted regularly by hyper-charismatic false teachers like Bill Johnson and Mike Bickle. The book was translated, really embellished, by, quote, Apostle Brian Simmons, a former missionary in Panama. Brian Simmons claims that God gave him a direct divine revelation to create this embellished and highly interpreted creation that he refers to as the Passion Translation. It's not a completed work. Only a handful of books have been rewritten, and of these, oh, they are replete with serious errors. The interpretations and imaginations that Simmons inserts into these texts, of course, support the NAR's modern-day apostle theology. For example, Philippians 1:1, a true translation will read like this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. That's the ESV, English Standard Version. Or the KJV, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, Philippians 1:1 KJV. But even the less accurate translation, the NIV, reads, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Well, this simple verse is translated almost identically in all of these versions because the meaning is simple enough. There's no hidden text that has been recently discovered in the ancient manuscripts that Simmons claims to have translated from. But let's look at how Brian Simmons embellishes this verse, and then we'll see why. He says, my name is Paul, and I'm joined by my spiritual son, Timothy. Both of us passionate servants of Jesus, the Anointed One. We write this letter to all his devoted followers in your city, including your pastors, and to all the servant leaders of the church. Whoa, my goodness. Notice that Simmons is adding things to the text that simply are not found there. This is his own interpretation of the meaning of these texts. Is Jesus the Anointed One? Yes. But that's not what the text says. Were Timothy and Paul passionate servants of Jesus? Well, yes, but that's not what the text said in the original. And the concept of spiritual son is found nowhere in this text translated here. It just doesn't exist. But there's an ulterior motive behind it. Brian Simmons is closely tied to Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. Bill Johnson is an NAR apostle and believes in the idea of apostolic fathering, a false teaching endorsed by Michael Brown. According to Bill Johnson, in a book edited by Dr. Bruce Cook, Aligning with the Apostolic is the name of it, the concept of apostolic fathering is part of the core of the new apostolic reformation. And one of the core values of the NAR movement is the principle of apostolic fathering, raising up spiritual sons and daughters. And we see that principle here with David. In Psalm 34, verse 11, he's addressing the 400 as his spiritual children, his spiritual sons. The Hebrew word here is ben, meaning son, one who is a builder of the family name. It's a relational term, not just a biological one. Well, the Passion Translation consists of a number of these interpretations and additions to the text. The sole purpose of this work by Simmons is to promote the false ideology of the new apostolic reformation. It's a movement that has its strongholds in the younger generation. It's appealing because it's accompanied by signs and wonders, ecstatic music, and mystical experiences that draw attention away from the sound theology normally suffered by unregenerate seekers. Empty promises of unity and love tend to be the general theme in NAR gatherings, and what better way to promote their false ideology than to create a crackpot version of Scripture that falsely alleges that their apostolic authority and theology is true. Avoid this piece of work and Brian Simmons like the plague. 2 Timothy 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. This is the ESV. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 5. Well, finally on this topic, I've got BereanSearch.org called The New NAR Passion Bible, a Dangerous Heresy. And this is from Amy Spreeman back in 2013. Have you heard about the latest Bible translation, quote unquote? This one comes from the NAR camp, from the brain of one man, a human-appointed apostle. It's called the Passion Translation, written by Brian Simmons of Stairway Ministries. Simmons has actually released four installments. This was in 2013. Psalms, Poetry on Fire, Song of Solomon, most amazing song of all, Luke to the Lovers of God, and Letters from Heaven by the Apostle Paul. He has also evidently by now released Proverbs and so on. I didn't update this. It could be that the whole thing is out by now. Simmons says our standard translations of the Bible, transcribed by hundreds of scholars from the original scrolls, are just head knowledge, and they don't adequately capture God's passion. He apparently missed that part in 2 Timothy 3:16 that says that every word is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And from his website, I read, the Passion Translation Project is a groundbreaking attempt to reintroduce the passion and fire of the Bible to the English reader. God longs to have his word expressed in every language in a way that would unlock the passion of his heart. The goal of this work is to trigger inside of every English speaker an overwhelming response to the truth of the Bible as it is unfiltered by religious jargon. So your Bible, oh my goodness, your Bible is just religious jargon. Dear God, help us. Unfolding the deep mysteries of the Scriptures in the language of love, the language of the heart. Accurate to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts, but passionately powerful in a contemporary form. Wow. Holly Pivick, who we quoted before with the book that she just wrote at Spirit of Error blog, points out that Simmons is manipulating scriptures to make it appear that heretical NAR teachings and practices such as prophetic singing, the transference of an anointing, the issuing of apostolic decrees, that they're actually in the Bible. And of course, they are now, but the contention is false. None of that is in the Bible. But to the biblically illiterate, it will sound so right. This translation is potentially one of the most disturbing developments in the NAR movement. Simmons is following in the footsteps of the major cults of Christianity who have released their own translations of the Bible, including the New World translations used by the Jehovah Witnesses and the Joseph Smith translation used by some groups of Mormons. By creating a new NAR translation of the Bible, Simmons is shaping the way a generation of NAR followers will read and understand the scripture, and also creating a divide between those who are the NAR translation, those who use it, that is, and those who don't. It remains to be seen how many NAR people will make the switch to this NAR translation of the Bible. If a lot of them do switch Bibles, then the Passion Translation could truly, as its advertisements say, impact the church for years to come. Yeah, it'll impact it all right. It'll impact it in a very negative way. Who is going to be there among us who know that the Bibles that we have are good Bibles? Who's going to be there when the Passion Translation is all there is available? Oh, I don't know if it'll go that far. I don't know if the Lord will allow it to go that far. His Word has always been out there for us. God help us, my friends. It starts out with speaking in tongues, and then the other gifts come, and then come the prophets, and then come the apostles. And I was thinking, well, that's about as far as it can go. And I just convinced myself here that, no, it's going farther. Now you're going to have a Bible that says what NAR says. What next? My God, have mercy. What next? We'll return in a couple of days to talk about people who are leaving NAR. Thank God, I have their testimonies right here. What's wrong with NAR? Oh, they'll tell you all about it firsthand when we get together again. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again pretty soon. Bye-bye.